Good morning, everyone.
It's been a little while since I've been up here. Seems like a week or two. First week when I didn't teach, I was asked twice by the same family, Brother Bill and Sister Norma, whether I felt lost. The thing that people need to understand, I worked on the railroad tracks, and I could leave my destination to go to a place, and before I'd get there, I'd get called to go somewhere else because somebody found something wrong because I was in maintenance and fixing the track. So my day changed on a dime and the whole thought. So coming in here, I done my job. When my job was done, I sat down in my seat, and as I told Jack or anybody else, I'm pretty silent as a student, and I do have some thoughts on what the symbols mean. They have a little more meaning than what was thought out today, and I talked to Jack about it. It's of course, the face of man was the image of God, of course. But when you get into looking at what an eagle stands for, it's majesty on high because it soars above us and sees all. And Jack brought out part of that. But when we look at the ox, of course, being strength, and then you look at the lion. The lion is ferocious. The lion is brave. The only way you stop a charging lion is to kill it. And with the strength of God, you cannot kill it. And that's kind of as I sat there and mulled over what those and the things I'd come across in the past. Since I didn't know what he was going to teach today, I had no way to prepare. And then I had to really go into the library in my head to find those of what I thought come across as what those symbols meant. And my subject is not anything of that, but that's the icebreaker for today. I'm going to talk a little bit about prayer, about us, about our attitude. Now, we've seen the movie War Room, which is kind of a religious, it's not basically ours, but it talks about using prayer and letting God fight your battles. And isn't that what we pray for? They may not have had everything right, but it was along the same lines. Now, we had an election this week. And on Tuesday evening, we had went and we met with one of my son's ex-wives, of which there are many, and ate with two of our grandchildren. Then she has two children. They was at the table with us, too. And then, all the things about the election, all the stuff that's going on in the world kind of melts away when you're with your grandkids. So, but when we got home, my wife, unbeknown to you, has become a political junkie. She watches all the channels, and she's going to be embarrassed that I said that, but it's true. She tells me don't watch Fox News, but it's on where she's at. But, and CNN, you know, the Clinton National Network and all those. And so, when I looked at this and I come home, I stand up. We have living room furniture that's comfortable to most people, but I don't sit. I stand. I spend my whole day on my feet. I spend the evening on my feet pretty much. I sit down to eat, and then I'll stand the rest of the evening because of my back. Well, she had turned on the television in there, and I just turned this one on. It hadn't really went to where I needed to go, and she comes in, and they were talking about the exit polls. And she come in just to prepare you. She's going to win this, you know. This would have been about 6:30, quarter to 7. Well, when she left the kitchen, I stopped. And I cleared my head. And I really, really prayed for this country. And I don't know, but that made a difference because I think there was a lot more than me doing the praying. But I really took serious what could happen this year. And paid a lot of attention to where this country had been going and where it could still go. Things that have occurred in the last 8 years, I wouldn't have fathomed of happening in this nation, of the way things had went. We live in the United States of America. They were talking about trying to do things about us even assembling here. There were places that had put out that in the left, I guess you'd call them, they wanted anyone that was preaching to turn in their sermons to see if they could be approved in several cities. That's fact. That's going in the wrong way. So, I believe very strongly in prayer. I don't write them out. I usually just, whatever is in my mind is what I tell to God. But stopping there for the moment, and within 30, you know, sometimes when you pray, things don't always turn out. But I also put in my prayer, your will, not mine. Because, you know, I had no control over the thoughts or who went and voted or who done what. Like any of us do, we pray for the things that we would like see change, and hopefully if it's the thinking of others, that things change. But the one thing that I did take away from that was the fact that within 30 minutes, it changed. It had totally changed. Within an hour, it was totally changed. And by the time we had went to sleep at, 2:30 or whatever it was, we had a new president. And don't get me wrong, I do not in any way just go out and think that this guy is the best guy that ever went around. But I seen him as the alternative to what would have been totally awful. But I'm going to talk about prayer. And in James, the 5th chapter, it talks about prayer, and it says, if any among you, this is the 5th chapter starting with 13, verse 13, it says, if any among you afflicted, let him pray. Is any merry, let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. I don't think this is something that we do very often. I have done it before when my son was sick. I called the elders to come and pray over him. And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith, the key word in any time you pray. You know, when Jesus said, if thou prayest that this mountain be removed, and having faith, that mountain shall be removed unto the sea. That's the kind of faith. We have to believe when we pray, we're just not making some kind of repetitious noise. Just to be pleasing to the assembly or to be pleasing to our own mind. Because here it's going to say, the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven. Confess your faults one to another. Another thing that we don't do very well. And pray one for another. I think here, and I'm not giving you guys a pat on the back because I'm here talking today. I have seen that you do pray for one another. That was brought out last week. Paul brought it out. Praying for the different ones that have difficulties and illnesses. And indeed, many times, the prayers have been answered. Pray for one another that they may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Of course, it goes on and talks about Elias, talking about it not raining for a period of like 6 years, and he prayed again, and then it brought the rain. Prayer is that heartfelt, mindful thing that we do when we communicate with God, and it is only through Jesus Christ that we have it. Now, in James 1, verses 5 and 7, it talks about something specific that we can ask for. And I do this often because I don't think I'm that wise. James 1 and verse 5 says, any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith. Nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Verse 7 says, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. So when you pray, do you believe that it will happen? No matter how impossible it may seem. Remember, nothing is impossible with God. Only things are impossible with man. Let God, too close to the microphone. Let God fight your battles. Too many times we toss and turn. Too many times we have all this anxiety built up in us. And Jesus said, putting all your cares upon me, so that we can take that burden to God. We can let Him fight the good fight for us. Because many times we're the ones that do all the fighting with everyone. When in fact, it says, pray for your enemies. Love them. If anyone has aught against you, you know, if they need food, you give them food. If they need drink, you give them drink. If they need clothes, whatever they need. Even if they're your enemy. It's kind of a hard saying because we are all individuals that have this pride within us that want to smite our enemies. And when I prayed about the election, I didn't pray, put her in jail, lock her up. That wasn't the idea. Was God, let it be your will. Please help this country be what it can be. Go back to what we had before. Maybe better. Not the exact words, but I always hopeful that things can be better than they were. When we pray, sometimes I think we forget about all the different things. And like I said, I have noticed that people here put a great deal into prayer. And, you know, it sounds like I'm kind of playing to the audience here, but I've been in a lot of different congregations. You can tell sometimes when people have the canned prayer and sometimes when they have the sincere prayer. There's a lot of difference. And, you know, if the guy that's at the table gives the same prayer for 50 years, it's like, how sincere is that? God can judge, but sometimes it's like, maybe change a word. Have another thought. And it's like, you know, always someone that thinks that we should put effort into everything we do because it's not we're doing it for us. Do all you can in the name of the Lord. And if you serve someone else, do it as though you're doing it for the Lord. We just went through Ephesians. You know, I spent 5 months in there, so I know that book pretty good. And it was in the 6th chapter there. So put forth the effort that is worth the sacrifice to God. Remember when the sacrifices were brought to God, the lambs that were offered, the rams that were offered, the ox, everything that was offered had to be without blemish. Had to be without spot. They were the best of your flock. How many of you could go out here, you've raised this ram from the time it was born, from the time it was a ewe, I think they're called. I'm not sure. My farming is a little dull since I haven't done it since I was young. But if you took this ram, it grows into this magnificent animal. Human nature says, this is my prize animal. I'd like to keep it. God says no. That belongs to me. And that's the way it was under the Mosaic law. Under the law of liberty of Jesus Christ, does He expect any less than your best in what you give when you offer yourself to God? The one thing that I guess I struggle with and others do too is this giving of yourself. And I've got it pretty easy. Because standing up here is a lot easier than me sitting back there. And I don't know why. Teaching a class is a lot easier than me sitting back there. And it's not because I like to be in front of people. It's because I like to talk. And Bible is one of the subjects I like to talk about. Because it's one of the books that I can read and I can recite almost anything in here. If you go through and like in the classes, if I'm telling you that I would like for you to give me some comment, it's so you can trip a trigger in my brain of something that I read 15 years ago, and I can give it to you. It's the thought. But sitting in my seat, and I'm telling you this because this is so I do not teach the class from my seat, because once I start talking, it's hard to stop, because then it just becomes an interaction with me and the teacher. So you think if I'm just being a coward, I want you to talk, but if you're not up here teaching, and you're just someone that comments from your seat, well, that's good. That's good. But we need to pray for humility. We need to pray for guidance. We need to pray for God to help us through our daily lives. Every person in here struggles with something. I went from being the number one at my job to having two surgeries and getting a fax telling me that because of your injuries, we no longer have any need of your services. And they sent me home. And I'm talking number one and everything in my whole division. But see, that's the way man works. Did I boo-hoo? No. A lot of people over at Lee Summit thought, well, this will be a big devastation. I'm like, easy come, easy go. I was looking for a job when I got there. It wasn't my whole life. That's what I'm trying to tell you. This is the whole enchilada here. The Bible and God's Word is the only thing that will endure. When I went home, I was home a year. They found out there's something wrong with my back, and I've had trouble ever since. I didn't know I had anything wrong with my back because I had been working so hard that I had all these muscles. Can't tell it now. But had all these muscles, held everything in place. Once I wasn't able to do all of that, stuff started to move, and it changed my life. My wife goes, do you pray for yourself over your injuries? No, other people pray for me. You know how Paul prayed? I'm trying to think how many times it was he asked that the infirmity that he had would be removed. I think that it was to, and the same with me. I think that it keeps you humble. If there's something always out there that holds you back. You know, pain is a way we realize we're alive. If I had no pain, I'd have to pinch myself several times to find out whether I was still breathing. Because it's a daily life. God is our strength. Prayer is our way of communicating with God what your heart desires are. And if we don't use it, we are losing. Because every one of you is a warrior. We went through and you put on the whole armor of God and we went through all of those verses that talked about each piece. But each piece is to be put on with prayer. And it's supposed to be that we are God's warriors. We are the only, probably light, that our neighbors see, those around us see. And it becomes one of those deals where it's like, we have to be out there. But let God fight the battles. If somebody rejects it, pray for that person that they will see the light. Sometimes it takes more than once to speak to them, but let God do the work. That's what He's there for. You know, we have the Holy Spirit is what helps us. And the easiest way of explaining what it does is, in Romans 8, verses 26 through 27. And it simply says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And that's about the only way I can explain the workings of the Holy Spirit in those that are God's children. Because we all came in contact with it at baptism. We all have it in us. All of us have various talents to use. We all have to put them to use. We have to be able to do the things that God has prepared for us. Also here in Romans, the 8th chapter, it talks about the indwelling Spirit. And this is something that we, you know, like in Thessalonians, it says we can quench that Spirit, the 5th chapter. When it goes through that list of things, it says, quench not the Spirit. And I always hope that I don't do enough wrongs so that I can't get back. I don't want to quench that Spirit, because the Spirit is described as a fire that burns within you. It gives you the desire to want to serve and honor God and serve and honor only Him. And when we stand here and everything around us is temporary, this earth is spinning. And we are held on it by the grace of God, because there's a lot of things moving out there. It is by His grace that we get up in the morning. The sun comes up because it's on Him that this earth stands. Because when He says it's over, it's over. We're supposed to look forward to and hasten to the coming of the Lord instead of fearing it. In chapter 8 it says, "There is therefore no more condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak, through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be filled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." And verse 5 says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." Verse 6 says, "For the cardinally to be cardinally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." God doesn't tell us we can't have riches. God doesn't tell us that we can't have a nice home. He don't tell you you can't drive have a nice car. All of those things are great. The comforts of a home, the comforts of the things that we have. Heat and air conditioning in this building when it's 100 degrees outside is very nice. When it's zero outside, they're being heat in here. It's very nice. It makes it easier to concentrate. Jesus is the one who sent the Spirit to us. And He talked about the work of it. And He was talking about this. And also, when He was doing the class this morning, I thought He was going to go over to John, the 17th chapter, the prayer of intercession that Christ gave, because it uses the word glory and glorify over and over and over. Because Jesus is talking about the Father glorifying Him. And He glorifying the Father. But when we talk about the work of the Spirit and how it works towards us, when Jesus was talking about it coming, He called it the Comforter. And this is in John, the 16th chapter. Verse 7, it says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on Me. Of righteousness, because I go to My Father and you see Me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, He will guide you unto all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine and show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are Mine, therefore I say, I that He shall take of Mine and shall show it unto you." The Holy Spirit is a comfort. We pray through Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit. It's an interesting connection to have. And over in chapter 17, for time's sake here, I won't go through the whole chapter 17. But the 17th verse says, "Sanctify them through truth. Thy word is truth." Talking about the word of God. Then over here, when Christ is still talking, in verse 20, one of the things, and this comes down to us. Of course, He had been praying to the Father about the giving of the disciples. And He also talks about Judas Iscariot. He had lost none except the one that went in the way of perdition as it predicted. Talking about Judas Iscariot. But in verse 20 here of John 17, it says, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on Me through Thy word." Interesting. That's where it comes to us. He gave this comforter. Of course, they had the Holy Spirit of great portion. They could give, they had miraculous things going on. But we have something pretty miraculous here. We have the written word of God. We have it translated in almost every language of the world, if not all of them. Usually a lot of people have Bibles. Usually they gather a lot of dust. But one of the things that always intrigues me is what I will find new in this book. Because whether I've read it over and over, I always attribute it to this. I grew up down in South Central Missouri where the water was clear, even if you turned over stones. It was a sand and rocky bottom and you could see everything in it. I always attribute the Bible as being like turning over rocks in a stream. There's always something new underneath. And when we pray to God and we have faith that He will do it, I know it's praying is a leap of faith, irregardless of how you look at it. But prayer has an effect on you that you maybe not even see. Things may be subtle. They may just change a little. Or it may be some great thing. But like I said, let God fight your battles for you. Don't spend all your time wrestling against others, even in your mind. Because the biggest battlefield, that's a book, Battlefield of the Mind. But it is. Our mind is a great thing, and our mind is a terrible thing. Because we have thoughts that enter in, and some stick, and some tear at you. They become emotional scars. They become things that bring us back to the level that Satan wants us. Remember, we battle not against flesh and blood, but spiritual things in high places. Satan is here. Satan is real. He's not a cartoon. He's not a movie. I know that we've had all of this, and the world thinks that everything is just, I'm okay, you're okay. We need to pray for our brothers and sisters. We need to pray for our church. We need to pray for our country. We need to pray for those who serve our country. We need to pray for the leaders of this country. And we need to ask forgiveness for ourselves along the way. We also need to pray for wisdom. We need to be able to quiet our mind. If I ask you, how many of you know what that means? How many of you know what it means to be quiet? Can you make your mind be still? There are very few people that can do it. I know a lot of people do the yoga and all that kind of stuff, but I'm talking about not yoga people, I'm talking about us. Can you make your mind be still? I was better at it when I was younger. It takes concentration and it takes a willingness to do it because that's trying to throw out the clutter. Because while I'm standing here, I have about 10,000 thoughts running through my head all at the same time. And most of it's clutter. What it is focus. If we're going to pray, a lot of people would say, well, I say my prayers when I'm laying in bed and I'll go to sleep and I don't finish. I don't remember what I prayed about. And they'll go, do you think God heard them? Well, I don't know how to answer that because I'm not God. But here's something I do know. If you're going to pray, at least focus on what you're praying about. Remember who you're talking to. Remember that you're asking something of a very supreme being, the all-time supreme being. He created this world and everything in it. And when we pray, and we have this privilege of being able to pray through the Spirit, through our advocate, Jesus Christ. And what I'm asking you today is don't waste that opportunity. And I'm running out of time, and I had like 3-4 pages here, maybe for another time. But like I said, I like to talk, and that kind of gets in the way. But not to take away from what we've been talking about here, prayer is one of the weapons that God has given us to fight the good fight. If you're going to put on the armor of God and march forth, pray every day. It says pray without ceasing. A lot of people say, well, you can't pray when you drive. Like I brought up once in class, a guy come up to me, well, I was afraid I'd run off the road. And then somebody come up after class, I won't name him, said, well, maybe you need to pull over. And I said, well, I used to pray every day on my way to work. I had 30, 35 minutes, and I would just get in the car. And as I was going, I paid attention to what I was doing. But the person was alluding to the fact that he had went to church his whole life, hands together, head bowed. That's how he learned how to pray. And that's what he was alluding to. He thought that he had to bow his head and put his hands together, and you can't drive a car if you're doing that. But, you know, and I've even heard Rick allude to it sometimes in the Bible schools. Put your hands together so you're not bothering anybody else. Bow your head and close your eyes so you're not distracted. He's talking to the children. But Jack brought up something this morning that is alluded to by the whole world, where it talks about in Matthew. And he brought up the part about Psalm. That's in my lesson here too. But when they asked Jesus how to pray, and people recite this, this is the Lord's Prayer. Remember, if you go over to Luke, it's more detailed, and it says, Master, teach us how. It talks about focus. It talks about who you're focusing on and what the focus is about. It's not recite word for word what Jesus said here. But it says, Master, teach us how to pray. Not tell us what to say. So, ending here, I will end in Matthew. And I will end in the sixth chapter. And I will go through verses 25. This was brought up in the class this morning, so I brought it back in here. And it's 6:25 and end with 34. It says, Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. And are they not much better? Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall be not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith. Therefore take no thought, saying, What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth what ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Thank you.